Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Did you get an email in your junk bag this week?
Well, only weird ones, but why? Yeah, Anything in particular?
I got one of Ben with a gag in his mouth. He looked really terrified asking for a ransom, but I just thought it was spam.
Oh, delete.
Phishing or something?
Yeah, block.
He looked really scared.
It's probably AI.
Yeah, I thought so. Hello and welcome to Help I Sexted My Boss, the podcast where we help you navigate the challenges of modern life, answering your 21st century questions and finding solutions to those everyday dilemmas, like how do you recover from all the common clinking you witnessed at New Year's? Are you writing the scripts now?
No, I'm not.
And do I need to carry a knife and fork around just in case I want to eat a pear? And, of course, what should you do if you've accidentally sexted your boss? We should also add to that, when do you stop saying Happy New Year? But we're not usual agony ants, are we? William Hansen, the UK's leading etiquette expert with 18.5 million followers on Instagram.
Thank you. No, we're not Jordan North, radio presenter and 0.8 million follower Instagram account. I'm more Finest Brie, you're more Derry Lee.
Very good.
And that's from Peter. Thank you, Peter.
I also like Brie.
You like Brie?
Oh, I've ate my body weight in cheese this year.
Really?
Oh, God.
What do you have your Brie with, or do you just have it on its own?
On a cracker. I like a wheat cracker, Jacob's wheat cracker.
Nice.
High in fibre, but they're the best crackers.
Do you do Brie and apple?
No, I can't say I've ever
That's
had Brie
quite
and
nice.
Castle.
Little slither of apple with a bit of Brie.
I like the smoked cheese as well. I had loads of that over Christmas.
Did you?
I think it's Norwegian or something like that. I had my port salut.
Yes, you like that.
My borsin.
Borsan.
Oh, Borsan.
Yeah. I prefer Philadelphia Intense.
Do you?
Mm,
is it called?
Yes.
Why are you eating it intense? No. What, when you're camping? Oh,
camping,
I'm on good form.
Me.
I'm on good form.
Yes. Now, are you doing, it's a new bottle of Debonair, but are you doing damp January? What
I
are
am,
you doing?
I'm doing half dry jam, like I usually do. Just a little reset for 2 weeks.
So do you want one or not?
No, you crack on, sweetheart. I'm just going to have 2 weeks reset. I'm going up football this weekend. It's going to be hard to go watch.
Who are you playing?
We're playing Spurs. It's going to be hard to go and watch Burnley.
Fresh.
Yeah. Happy New Year. It's going to be hard to watch Burnley without having a drink. Not that I can't, but...
You'll have a drink.
I won't.
I bet you you'll
have a drink. When I'm... Oh, God.
Gin.
When I put my mind to it, I'm good. Just a little reset. The first drink I'm going to have is when we go to Nancy Pelosi's... Alex Pelosi's hotel.
Okay. So in a few weeks' time.
In a few weeks' time.
Very excited.
Which I'm looking forward to.
Well, I'll just toast on my own then, shall I?
It's bad luck to toast
no,
with water.
No, it's not bad luck to toast
it
with
is.
Water.
It is.
Well, for a start, you've drunk before...
I'm not going to toast.
It's not bad luck. It was only bad luck to toast with water in the days when water was full of bacteria.
Don't talk to me about superstitions. New Year's Eve,
yes.
I forgot to walk in the house and walk back out again.
What?
On New Year's Eve, you're meant to walk out the house. The person with the darkest hair walks out the back door and walks in through
the person with the darkest hair?
Yeah.
I have never heard
it's
this.
It's to bring good luck in. And then on New Year's Day...
Were you told this as a child because people didn't want you in the room?
No. There'll be loads of people listening now going like that. And then on New Year's Day, you're not allowed to do any laundry. You can't put a wash on.
I've heard that one before.
Because if you wash your clothes on New Year's Day, you wash someone out your family. And I got into a big argument on New Year's Day about it.
Wow.
I was asked to respect my culture, to which I was told, it's Karen culture.
Well, I agree with that. Well, here's the solo toast to 2024.
To 2024.
Let's hope it's a big one. Lovely.
As always, if you need our help with something, then we would love it if you got in touch. You can send your tales of trepidation to help@sexandmyboss.com, or you can tweet us or send us a message on Instagram @sexandmyboss, or you can write to William, who in the fullness of time promises a handwritten reply in one of his luxury greeting cards with executive cell seal envelopes. The address for that is on the website sexandmyboss.com.
The stationers of New Bond Street are up in arms at self-seal envelopes, by the way.
Why?
I had a Christmas card from Ruth at Smytheston, who is my personal stationery supplier.
You have a personal stationery supplier?
Yes, I do. And
David Cameron's wife used to be the head of Smytheston.
She was the creative director a while ago, yeah. And yes, saying that she was horrified that we're advocating self-seal envelopes. But Ruth, I'll say this to you. If you had to lick what I've got to lick, you'd want a self-seal envelope. I mean, I write a lot of letters. I can't lick them all.
What is a self-seal envelope?
Well, it's, you know, where you've got the... It's already got a bit of glue and you peel off the strip. And
is that a bit common?
I mean, look, etiquette reflects the society that we're living in and things evolve. And back in the day, you had to sort of moisten it yourself. Although, actually, in the titles of Keeping Up Appearances, Hyacinth has that little sticky pad for the stamps, and you would use the same thing for letters as well.
Oh, okay.
To moisten it. It's just a sponge, basically.
Oh, right.
But you can use your tongue, but not on a self-seal envelope.
Oh, okay. Anyway, loads to catch up on. Loads of preamble today.
Yes.
So we'll give you a little warning. How was your Christmas? How was your New Year?
Christmas was lovely.
Yep.
My favourite present was... a meat defrosting plate.
What's a meat defrosting? Just a so metal it's plate?
It's metal, but it's supposedly designed, and it defrosts meat at double the speed, but safely.
I need one of them.
Yes.
I took some... Is it good with fish? I took some salmon out the other day.
Well, I wouldn't know.
On New Year's. Oh, you don't like fish?
No.
It still weren't defrosted.
Well, I did beef mince yesterday. So normally a whole 500-gram block of beef mince might take on the side most of the day in the fridge overnight.
Mm-hmm.
You stick it on this plate... Sort of black metal plate with some ridges. Literally in about 3.5 hours, it was ready to go.
Is it a heated plate?
No.
No, did you plug it in?
I don't know how it works. No.
Oh.
It is literally standalone.
Who got you that?
My mother.
She's a good one.
Yeah.
He's always whinging about his meat, darling.
Oh, here we go.
He's saying his meat is never defrosted. So I said, Brian, we must get a defrosting meat plate.
Look, I will, in fact, actually, this
Show
is...
It.
I said, I mean, it was a very odd video for me to send to my mother of me touching my meat... But there, that was the...
Oh, wow.
That was underfrosted. Or, sorry, that was frozen, as we often call it. And then here, look, you see, a few hours later, completely fine.
Wow.
And that's all it is. It's just that little plate.
How do you get on with them induction hobs? I pissing ate them.
Yeah, I don't love an induction hob.
I'm going to... If I get a new kitchen in a couple of years, I'm going to save up.
Okay.
I'm going to get a hob... Just go back to gas.
Yeah, Mikey is desperate for gas.
They do me head in.
Especially
so
last night.
And you put like a bit of the tea towel goes on it. It's like beeping and all goes off.
Oh, when you clean it as well. Ugh. When I spritz it afterwards with the degreasing spray. And I go beep, 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 because it's sort of slightly wet. Yes, I know it's slightly wet. They won't shut up. And then last night it was slow because we were using all four rings last night.
Yeah, and it's...
And they don't... And it does that pulse.
Even name drop, even when I did that thing with Mary Berry, she struggled with it as well.
Does she?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Obviously, in a couple of weeks, if Induction decide to sponsor an episode, we'll be all over it.
We'd love an Induction hob.
But for now, they just do
it. I see them, they're much better from a safety point of view.
Yeah.
I do get that.
And I think they might be better for energy as well.
Probably.
Yeah.
I would imagine in 10 years' time, when the technology's developed, they'll actually be really great.
Yeah.
But at the moment, they're a bit frustrating.
Half my pans don't work on them either.
Oh.
Still got like all my cheap pans from uni that don't work.
Nah, you need to get rid of it. Yeah. Well, go and invest in some new pans. Get them in the January sales. What was your favourite Christmas present?
I got a bottle of whiskey that I've always wanted.
Blue Label, I believe.
It was Johnny Walker Blue. I'm very, very lucky.
Didn't he used to do Radio 2 Sounds of the 70s? Has he branched out into whiskey?
Yes, he has. Johnny Walker.
Johnny Walker.
Now, you know I love my whiskey. I've never even tried it before, because even in bars and stuff, it's. I think some bars charge like 40, 50 quid for a shot of Johnny Walker Blue.
And what? That's about that much, is it?
Yeah. So I got some for Christmas and it was...
Wow. Yeah. Have you tried it yet?
Yeah, I thought, I'm going to try it. And then I went back onto my normal whiskey.
Yeah.
Which I like my house whiskey. And someone said, can you tell the difference? I said, it's like Glen's vodka. You remember Glen's vodka on Park when you were a kid?
No.
No? Never had the tiny little bottle of Glen's vodka at the cap whilst listening to N-dubs
And oh, that was my childhood all over.
And a Samsung.
No, I was recreating the Bible with Beanie Babies. You
of course
know this.
You were. Well, it's just like that now. It's right. Like when you get a good, you can definitely tell the quality.
You can taste the difference.
That was my favourite. I had a lovely time at Christmas. Thanks for asking, yeah.
I did ask.
It was Lucas's christening.
Yes, your nephew, not my former luxury flatmate.
Went really well, yeah.
Good.
No fights.
You sure? Yeah.
There was a ball pit fight where we all started chucking balls at each other, but that was about
But that's
it.
Sort of play fight.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Nice. And how old is Lucas now? 6 months?
6 months, and he's crawling.
Is he? Gosh, yeah, where will he be at university next?
Graham and Wendy were there.
They came over.
Yeah, they came over.
So did they do actually? Where did they do Christmas?
Oh, you should see what Wendy got me. Oh, they stayed in a hotel in Burnley.
Oh, okay. Like, so they were over here.
Brothers. They got me and made me open it in this pub in Burnley in front of everyone. They got me a fire pit.
A fire pit?
A massive fire pit. Yeah.
So did they not just deliver that to your house? That might have been easier.
Got delivered to my grandma's.
Wow.
And my dad got a drone.
Gosh.
My dad can barely.
He's been married to a drone for most of his life.
I showed her that clip as well.
Sorry, Wendy.
I showed her that clip of you said, how's Wendy still a cow?
What did she say?
Yeah, it's not repeatable. Especially, and we repeat a lot of things on this podcast. But yeah, she got my drone. He can barely park a car.
Yeah, car can park.
But yeah, how was New Year's Eve?
Well, it was lovely, thank you. So for those that don't know, Jordan very sweetly invited Mikey and me over for a New Year's bash. Yep. Which was nice. And it was, I mean, latterly on this podcast last year, you were like, oh no, you got to bring something. And I got a bit uppity that you had changed. Because originally you didn't say you need to bring a dish. Then you announced that you did. So then Mike and I spent quite some time working out what we were going to bring.
Oh, bless you.
And then about 2 days before, you said, oh no, we're doing it now. It's sausage surprise.
Because, Mum, again, Wendy...
Genuinely, we did sausage surprise.
Wendy got in my head. She went, no, you can't do a picky tea. It's, you know, it's too much hassle. It'll be all out on the side. And if you've not got enough oven space. And I was like, do you know what? She's actually got a point here. So I thought, I can't do my chilli again. I'll do a sausage surprise.
Yeah. And I was very surprised by your sausage.
Thank you. I knew that would annoy you. No one else would bother, and I knew that would... It well, saved can your
I
cooking.
Also, can I also... I spent a few days before, Chelsea and James, who also came, I saw them for lunch. And how Chelsea and James got invited... I mean, how's this for etiquette? So you bumped into a mutual friend of Chelsea's, called Hannah, I believe, at a party weeks ago. You then say to Hannah at this party in, I think it was November or December, when she came up and said, oh, I believe you know Chelsea, time have a chat. You said to Hannah, oh, can you see what they're doing New Year's Eve and if they'd like to come round for tea? So Hannah then... So the invitation doesn't actually come from you.
I can't remember this.
I was shown the text. The invitation comes from Hannah.
No, I...
It wasn't even invited.
I spoke to J-Ro.
Right, well, maybe they didn't communicate.
But, and no one calls him J-Ro these days, apart from the original Manchester lot. Am I right, Stu? Because there'll always be J-Ro to me.
Right. That's James Robinson.
James Robinson. And who you can hear on Chris Miles' show.
Yes.
Produces Miles on Radio X. Anyway, I texted him ages ago. Who's that? I can't remember. Oh, what party was it?
I don't know.
I'm at so many showbiz parties these days.
God.
I'm really not. I can't remember that. Did you know what you said as soon as you walked in again?
Oh, God, no, don't.
So...
Stop it.
Infamously, when he first came to my little holding flat that I had for a year in... where was that?
London.
In London, yeah. He walked in and you famously said, well, it's lovely on the inside.
I have no recollection of that.
Do you remember when you walked into the living room?
What, of your new place?
Yeah.
Which living room?
When he came, the upstairs. Though also, I don't want anyone... I've decided as well.
I noticed you reposted me and then deleted it.
Right, I know. Right, okay. I know I'm really anal about it. But
don't get more anal than Jordan.
I don't want anyone posting from inside my house. Because I had this discussion beforehand.
I asked if I could post
that
photograph.
It's fine. And then I just get really weird about it. And everyone was posting it. And then you put that up. It's lovely to see Jordan in one of his drawing rooms.
Small estate drawing rooms.
And anyway, when you came into the small estate drawing room.
Yeah.
You said, does that couch have enough cushions?
No, because Jordan, I have never seen so many scatter cushions on one piece of furniture.
They're perfectly placed. What, you wouldn't go into Soho House and go, oh, they've got too much cushions on here.
Well, no, because you're able to see the seat of the sofa.
Oh, well, sorry.
No, but it looked beautiful.
Oh, thank you.
I mean, I love it. And also, especially now I'm getting old, I love a scatter cushion behind my back because it helps me sit up.
Yeah.
But there were quite a lot.
Stop saying my house is really not. And everyone, every time I DM now, I don't like posting from my house anyway.
Oh, well, you posted the next day of you looking rough in the kitchen.
Yeah, it's the last time.
Okay, so no more house.
I want to sign them off. Is that control freaky?
I want to sign them off.
Before we post them.
Sorry, if the Jordan of 5 years ago could hear that.
Also, I've decided that it's the run-up to Christmas that I don't like itself. It's that 2 weeks before, week before. Okay. So stressful.
That's all right. You've got 51 weeks left.
I'm always so busy that week run-up, but I love Christmas Day itself. Mm. I love Boxing Day. And a lot of people hate it. I bloody love Limbo Week.
Right.
I know it's always grey and it pisses down with rain every year without fail.
Particularly this year.
It was miserable, but it's because no one bothers me. Everybody's off, so I don't have to do any emails, any texts, anything like that. Mm. And I can just sit in my own shit and watch telly all week. I love it. Not literally, but...
Did you watch anything nice?
Did you watch Saltburn?
We have now watched Saltburn,
okay.
Yes.
What do you spoilers.
We won't spoil anything for anyone.
Are you a vampire?
Am I a vampire? No, I'm definitely not a vampire. Please.
I'm surprised.
I don't think many people listening to this are vampires, because that's weird.
I'm surprised we've not had a letter about that.
Well, we haven't started yet. We might.
Can I just say, I thought it was fantastic. Sometimes things don't live up to the hype, but I thought it was brilliant. Mm. Both of them, Barry Keoghan and...
Keegan, probably.
And...
Jacob Elordi.
Mm. Oh, yeah, I knew you'd knew his name.
Can I also say, on a completely unrelated note, what a lovely bath you've got. What beautiful taps.
That was a fun game at New Year's Eve.
Yes.
Do you reckon...
Talk about a salt burn.
I've always thought about this. If there's any actors listening or anyone...
Any actors listening?
Yeah, that has done a nude scene. Do you reckon before... Mainly male actors or however they identify. Do you reckon before they do a nude scene, do you reckon they get it on semi-lob on?
Well, why did you ask this to Robbie, our intimacy coordinator, who came on?
I know, we should have asked.
Yeah. I don't think that's encouraged.
You know, like when you sometimes get in shower at school and you'd give it a little...
I'm sorry?
You'd just give it a little, like...
No,
little,
we had cubicles.
Little helicopter, just to get a bit of blood into it.
A little helicopter?
You know, sometimes... I see, right, I'm not joking. I see lads do it in gym these days. Because
Where's your gym again?
Like they'll just give it a little... Look, just get blood going to it. I'm sure actors must do that. Mustn't
Because I think... But Robbie did tell us... Remember, they wear, like, modesty pouches.
Yeah, but Barry didn't.
No, Barry didn't. But that could have been a prosthetic.
And apparently the grave scene was improvised.
The grave scene. Oh, right.
Yeah. But I've always wanted to know that.
Mikey didn't know what was coming in the bath scene, as it were.
I don't think that was the worst scene.
No, it wasn't. But he was... At the point of watch... At the point where that happens, that's probably the worst thing that has happened so far.
I think the vampire scene was...
That's probably worse, yes. That is definitely worse. But yeah, the Mikey's face was... I wish I'd picked up my phone in time to record him squealing.
Loads of people did.
But alas. Just going back to yours, by the way, it'll probably arrive today. I have probably written the worst thank you letter I have ever written to you to thank you for New Year's Eve. I'm very... Just not in terms of what I've said, in terms of how I formatted it. It's a lovely picture of the late Queen Elizabeth and the late Duke of Edinburgh sitting next to each other on a sofa in Windsor. And it was, I only had one of them, so that's why you've got it. And I didn't bother rewriting the stamps in the wrong place. I mean, it probably won't even turn up. I've written your name wrong. I've put Northy, not North. I don't know what happened. I've then written an apology for that in the place where the stamp was meant to go, which is why the stamp is on the bottom right corner. It's an absolute disaster.
I wouldn't have noticed.
You really will.
And I know why this was.
Mm.
You had your first hangover on New Year's Day.
No, I didn't.
You were hammered.
I was not.
When you left, everyone went, God, he were a bit pissed, weren't
they? Oh, shut up. No,
they did. Honestly, a few people said it. Yeah.
I felt a little bit tired the next day, but that was about
pissed.
It.
We started on champagne.
Yes.
And then what else did you have? I made you a couple of gins.
Couple of gins.
Did you have some wine with your sausage surprise?
I think I might have had some wine. And then I had a sip of a picante that you all did. But I don't love those, so.
J-Ro and Chelsea made them.
They did?
You made
Chelsea do the veg.
Yeah, because you know what it's like? When you come to mine, everyone gets stuck in.
Yeah. Well, I didn't.
Chelsea did the veg. She did a very good job of it as well.
She did?
Yeah.
Yes. And you did your lovely brownies as well.
My lovely brownies. I was going to have my last drink on New Year's Day because I like a drink on New Year's Day. It's like a Sunday. But those Bacchantes did me over, so I was too rough.
Yeah. Mm. In other news, should we just talk about the fact that I have been used to promote Skepta's upcoming album?
Yes. What has gone on here? I've seen this on your Insta story.
I have absolutely no idea. So on New Year's Day, suddenly my phone went alight with people sending it to me. Skeps, as he is to close friends, posted a grid post of a series of photos promoting an upcoming album called Knife and Fork, I believe. And me eating the pear was, with the knife and fork, was, I think, picture 3.
Yeah, it was amazing.
Bizarrely, picture 9 was the set of Matilda the Musical, which I think is a bit weird, but anyway, I don't really get that.
That's fair play to you. Did you share it?
I popped it on the story.
Have you been invited to the album launch party?
It's only a matter of time.
I've got a couple of mates that are huge Skepta fans, so yeah. If you can get us some tickets for that, that'd be great.
I can't promise. I've got many of my friends want to come. We're all big Skepta fans. We love his harmonies.
Fair play. Mm. Oh, we should take you to a Skepta concert gig.
A Skepta recital.
You and Mikey at a Skepta gig would be brilliant. Oh, also, yes. Right, I want to take you to a Skepta gig. You know, I've took you to Benidorm.
No, I'll be taking you to a Skepta gig.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
You know, I'll have VIP access.
You know, I've took you to Benidorm.
Yes.
I really, really want to take you to the darts. Have you watched it this year?
I haven't watched it any year.
A lot of people think I were jumping on the bandwagon. Back me up here. I've always loved the darts, especially the World Championship finals. Hmm. I've watched it every year.
And where do they take place?
They take place at Ali Pali.
Oh, okay.
It used to be at Circus Tavern.
Circus Tavern?
I first watched it. I remember New Year's Day, I was flicking through. I just got a telly in my room. And I was watching Phil Taylor playing Kevin Painter. 2004.
I don't know who any of these people are.
2004 final. Phil Taylor, greatest living sports person on this planet. 16 world titles. Who can top that? I think it's 16. Okay. And a lot of people say Tiger Woods and your tennis players and what have you. 16 world titles. But it was really good this year because Luke Littler was only 16.
Yes. Now, he's the one that he's caused media interest because he is only 16, but he sort of looks 40.
But, I mean, that's unfair. That's unfair. And a lot of people were saying he's actually not 16. And I have got proof, black and white proof, that he's 16.
He got his driving licence.
I haven't got his driving licence because he wouldn't be able to drive because he's not old enough.
No, true.
I've got his birth certificate. No, I haven't got his
You've
birth
got
certificate.
His birth no. certificate.
This is all you need to know to prove that the runner-up, Luke Littler, is 16. He did an interview. Now, this is when he got through to the semi-finals. He won £100,000, okay? Wow. And he got asked by a reporter what he was going to spend it on. And if this doesn't prove he's 16, I don't know what will. He said he's going to treat himself to some Under Armour tracksuits, he told the Telegraph, and get himself a new coat and just get some FIFA points for his Xbox. If that doesn't prove...
I mean, he just to sound like a generic darts player, though.
If that doesn't prove that he's 16, I don't know what does.
Okay.
So there you go.
Well done. So he's won it, has he?
No, he came runner-up.
Oh, he came runner-up.
But I'd love to take you to the darts. We could dress up.
My brother went to the darts fairly recently.
Of course he did.
And dressed up as Mr. Incredible.
Did he actually? Yeah. You and your brother, I forget how totally different
you
are.
Yeah, Jonathan messaged James going, I forget how different you are to your brother.
Wow, 180! I can't... Yeah... Just your brother trying to be down with the lads.
I think he can do it.
I don't think he can. He's like, when he's a bit like Ben, normally he's like, boopity woo.
Who?
Oh, yeah, sorry. Are we not allowed to mention him?
We move on.
Normally he's like, boopity woo. Yeah, I'm at the darts. And then when all the boys come in, he's like, what? Yeah. Grew up, yeah. No, I had a really tough upbringing. My dad was a drug dealer. Yeah, he was inside for most of my childhood, yeah. Yeah, my mum, I never knew her. Nah, never knew her.
Alcoholic.
Then at home, he's like, Mummy!
Also, because obviously New Year, new people, etc., that sort of thing, should we just have a little revision on gym etiquette? Because you go to the gym a lot.
Yep.
I go to the gym enough.
My new gym's opening soon, I can't wait.
Your new gym?
Yeah, because I had to go to a... God, we really have reversed roles, but I had to go to a lesser gym.
Oh.
Just before, well, in October time.
Oh, because they were redoing it?
Yeah, so I joined a lesser gym and the fucking watch got nicked. I'm so gutted about that.
Yeah, that is sad.
So my watch got nicked, so I can't wait for my new gym to open.
I get very annoyed with, and I say it it could be women as well, but obviously I don't go in the women's changing room, so I'm going to sort of slightly slander all men here. Men who use the changing room as an extension of their office and are on their phones, the only thing you should be doing in the changing room is getting changed to or from your gym kit.
What?
You do not need to be sitting on the bench, doing emails, sending messages,
what?
Making phone calls.
How's
because
that
you
doing
are hogging space.
How's that doing any harm to you?
The changing rooms are not massive where I go to, and particularly if it's deserted, I'm less fast.
Is this the fancy gym that...
Well, it doesn't, yes, but it doesn't matter where the gym is.
But that's
is.
A very, like, workers' commuters. You
not
go in there...
Not in the changing room.
Oh, for God's sake. Go and speak to the guy who runs it, then.
It's just irritating. I'm sure it happens in all gyms. Let me know, Gene Divas, if this happens in your gyms. People using their phones to send emails. Just quickly get changed, shower, blah, blah, go. Move on. Create some space.
Okay.
Big thing. I also wipe the equipment down before you use it and after you use it. You only have to wipe it down before because not many people wipe it down afterwards. Are you a wiper?
If I'm sweaty, yes.
No, no. Well,
I can't be arsed walking
well, if you're not
with
sweaty,
a J-cloth
you're not doing it right.
Spray.
A J-cloth. You could just get some blue roll.
It's not very good for the environment. If I've been on it and I'm dripping buckets, of course I'll wipe it down.
I drip bouquets. A lovely joke.
It's a very good joke.
Thank you.
Are you doing a little New Year reset then?
Ish. I mean, I had a box of chocolates last night, but only because Mikey brought them home from work. So they were given them as gifts, and he was like, you can have them. So I did.
You've no discipline at all, have you?
Up until that point, I was being quite good. But
that says me. I can't. I'm not either.
But I've done two gym cross-trainer things this year so far.
Very good.
When I put my Desperate Housewives on the elliptical and off I go.
Yeah, you told everyone that on New Year's Eve. You watch a lot of programmes on.
I do. That's how I watch TV, on my phone.
Do you lift heavy? Do you lift any weights?
No, don't that's be silly.
That's how you get toned up.
I don't want to be toned up.
I never used to lift weights as well, but just...
I'm happy enough with my personality.
You know what they say, if you don't do the kills, you don't get the girls.
We'll keep trying. Should we go to the etymology of the week?
Yes, please. What have you got for us today, William Hanson?
We're going to do the history, 2 weeks in, of Auld Lang Syne. Here's the jingle.
It's William, the etiquette geek. His knowledge is quite unique. He'll give you manners, a subtle tweak. It's time for William's etiquette-y-metiquette-y-manology of the week.
And I'll tell you the history of Auld Lang Syne, which we all probably sung at New Year, after these messages.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, Gene Divas, thanks for sticking with us. It's now time for William's etiquette-imology of the week. We're going to be doing your problems and dilemmas very soon. So what is it again this week?
It's the history of Auld Lang Syne.
Did we do it at mine?
We did, yes.
Sorry again about the countdown being late. That was the BBC's fault.
Of course it was.
We were on the iPlayer.
You're like the Daily Mail, aren't you?
A bit delayed. So why do we sing Auld... What's it? I can never spell...
Auld Lang Syne.
Auld Lang Syne.
Well... translated literally, Auld Lang Syne means old long since, but a better translation would be For the Sake of Old Times, written by Robert Burns, as many people know, in 1788, based on an old folk song, but it was first set to the tune that we all sing roughly 10 years later in 1799. Now, the song began its associations with New Year during the 19th century, after it was taken up by the Freemasons and other fraternities. Robert Burns was a Freemason. Gradually, this spread into the wider community, and by the 1880s, Auld Lang Syne was sung across much of Scotland. So in Scotland, they started it. Traditionally, people would gather outside just before midnight, by a clock, and obviously they'd break into it then. During the 20th century, though, so it's relatively recent, it spread across the Anglosphere, thanks to radio and later TV. However, not in Burnley, where due to a translation error by a certain Mr. Athelthwaite in 1907, the locals believed it to be about the old long sign to Hebron's Chippy, found at the foot of Pendle Hill, and the song never caught on.
Is that real?
As true as I'm sitting on this elephant.
That's amazing! Yeah. Oh, right, you're making it up. Oh, did you do...
I just wrote that for the sake of amusement.
Very good.
Thank you.
Two things.
Yes.
Are the Freemasons still a thing?
I wouldn't know.
Don't they do like a...
No, I'm not a Freemason. Let's not start this.
Oh, my God.
No, I'm not a Freemason.
I know someone in your... Brian's a Freemason,
Brian
isn't
is
he?
Not a Freemason.
He so is.
He's not a Freemason.
He so is.
He is not a Freemason.
Is it still a thing? Apparently, like, yeah, you could get pulled up for speeding. You do, like, a weird little handshake. You go like,
yeah.
Oh, what was, you are a Freemason, aren't you?
Just tickled your hand, for God's sake. Lucas, not your nephew, Lucas, my former luxury flatmate, and I went round the Freemason Hall in, you can do tours and go in Holborn, not far from here, actually. And we did, I'm sorry to any Freemasons listening, we did walk round with our trouser legs rolled up.
I don't get it.
Because supposedly you can tell, it's a secret sign. As they roll up one of their left trouser leg up a little bit to flash a bit of ankle. It's not really true, but it's the common. So we walk around the halls with our trouser legs rolled up. We found it funny.
Weren't that One Direction?
What?
They got... I always... You know when all of a sudden lads started showing a bit of ankle in like the early 2010s?
Oh, that's just because they couldn't afford proper trousers.
No, they started showing a bit of ankle on the X Factor and then for the first album. And for, you know, everyone stopped wearing socks.
Did they?
Second thing...
Just to clarify, not a Freemason.
But is it still a thing?
I think you do see... If you get on at Holborn Tube, often or off in London, you often do see them. They're with the briefcases and the black jackets and not very nice material suits.
Why do we link hands?
Sorry?
For Auld Lang Syne.
What are you doing?
Linking hands.
Well, in Scotland, the song is sung whilst holding hands with the person next to you in a circle. So you actually hold like this, so you don't cross. You only cross... at the last verse, and then you cross. Whereas outside Scotland, those rules don't apply, and we just cross arms. So sort of the etiquette changes. And actually, can you remember, that sort of, it's quite funny, the picture of the late Queen Elizabeth and Tony Blair.
And Sherry.
Yes, doing. And of course, the Queen looked confused, and the Queen didn't know whether to cross or not, because of course, she sort of, although is British, is sort of probably slightly more Scottish, or would identify as Scottish a bit more.
Would she say she was Scottish?
Well, her mother was Scottish.
Would she say she was English, or?
Well, she's British.
She'd say, she would never say she was English.
Well, I don't know what
Scotland
she said.
Scotland was her favourite place, wasn't it? Anyway.
We know that, yeah. So, anyway, it was all a bit confusing as to what she should do. And, you know, she was doing this because, again, it's more Scottish. So, I'm not coming down on any side there, but I'm sure there was a bit of confusion. I don't love Auld Lang Syne, if I'm honest. It was nice at yours. J-Row and I broke into Scottish reeling. Did you notice?
No, did we do it at mine? I was pissed by then. Did we play it or did we just all sing it?
I think we all just broke into it.
I think I might have found a video of... No one knows the words. No one knows the words. Oh, look at Sean and Jake. Little Jake having time. What do you call him? Turn up the feel-good Jake?
You call him turn up the feel-good
no,
Jake.
No, I don't.
Yes, you do.
You call him tracksuit Jake.
I call him tracksuit Jake, and you said on this podcast last year, you are now calling him turn up the feel-good Jake.
Turn up the feel-good Jake. Big fan of ours, and he in his little element, weren't he?
Yeah.
Did a quiz as well.
Thanks for playing the bad singing. Sorry to any music lovers. Sure. Shall we crash on?
Yeah.
Shall we get on to the listeners' problems?
Mm-hmm.
This is from Lara. Dear William and Jordan, wishing you fellas a wonderful new year. I'm looking forward to all 2024 has to offer, but for now I need some advice. I'm partaking in dry January, mostly because I find my mental health is a lot better when I avoid alcohol.
Same, hon.
I'd like to try and keep it going post-January too, but wondering what is the etiquette for socialising with friends who do drink when you're trying to stay sober? Further, how often do I begin to think about dating as a sober person? I'm afraid people will think I'm terribly boring or no fun. Any advice would be welcome. Many thanks. Lara.
I'll admit, I used to be one of these people, and I have since stopped. So when someone has come to a barbecue or a party, you go out and they go, "You're not drinking? Why? What's up with you? Are you pregnant?" If somebody's not drinking...
Why were they asking you that?
No, it's just you say to other people. When somebody's not drinking, let's just say, fine.
Yes, do not pressure them.
Do you want to... Yeah, and I used to be like that, and I used to feel like that. But if somebody's not drinking for whatever reason, just be like, right, fine.
Yes, because if you are... If you think that to have a good time, you have to have a drink, that is called a problem.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
I stand by that statement. Like, what? Me and you could go out and...
I can still have a good time if I don't have a drink.
I don't think I can. I can have a good time.
That's called a problem.
No, I mean, I can have a good time, but everything's better with a drink.
Well, not everything.
Excuse me. At the time of recording...
Driving's not very good.
At the time of recording, it's a Thursday morning at 9:20, and you've nearly downed a gin and debonair. Do not tell me I've got a problem.
Because that's the format.
You're working till 8
I'm doing
o'clock
this for
tonight.
Format reasons.
And you're telling me I've got a problem. But anyway, you can have fun without drink. You can, but we're talking about this. Clearly, it was an episode... We should maybe release it one day. When we did that escape room... When we're on tour.
We can't release it, Jordan, because the audio doesn't exist.
I hated that. Not for me. Stuff like escape rooms and going on bloody, what's it called, crystal maze things and that. Not for me. I'd much rather be in the pub, which I clearly made known on that day we went to the escape room.
Well, when you lay on the floor.
Yeah.
And refuse to do anything.
Because it's not for me. I'm such a knob, aren't I? I'm such a knob. And that guy, that student that went, right, I'm gonna go and get the pirate.
Yeah,
and I'll be back in a minute. It's the same guy. He just popped a hat on and came back and went, "Ooar, I'm Captain Longbeard, and I'll be helping you with today's escape." Oh God! But yeah, if somebody's not drinking,
yeah, don't pressure them, everybody. Also, Lara, you can look. Whilst people shouldn't pressure you, and if you want, also, do you want a drink? Yes, I'll have a sparkling water. Is a drink, so you shouldn't feel bad about that. But what you could do is stick a bit of lime in the sparkling water, just ask for a tonic water, just sort of make it look like you're drinking, because then just to sort of make people avoid having to say, "Oh, well, you're not drinking," for example. Or also, there are loads of really good... Mikey often has a 0% gin of the time.
I got some in for him for New Year's Eve. And
did you tell him that?
I offered him a couple of times.
Oh, I'm sorry.
But he weren't up for it. I was like, I've got some... non-alcoholic gin in for him.
I'm fairly sure he didn't know you had that. I'm sorry. Maybe
I asked him twice.
Oh, I'm sorry. Be very difficult.
Do you want do you want a non-alcoholic gin and tonic? He went, "No more, eh? Thanks, pal." Mikey's gone teeth out, hasn't he?
Yeah, pretty much. Occasionally. He might have a brandy at the end of a heavy meal, which is a bit like being teetotal and then having brandy. It's a bit weird. Pick a lane. But, you know, I love him. He's fine. So, Lara, I feel you. I think things are changing. More and more people are realising that actually you shouldn't pressure people to drink. Yeah. Stick with it. And if people do pressure you, potentially they're not your friends. That's what I'd say.
And don't people won't think you're boring because you don't have a drink.
Exactly. This is from Anonymous. "Dearest William and Jordan, as a teacher, I often run into parents out of school hours. This one incident, however, has led me to needing your advice."
I once seen a teacher in W.H. Smith and I couldn't fathom it. I was in my 20s.
It's only W.H. Smith.
Yeah, I know, but seeing a teacher outside of school is weird.
Right. Okay. "I was getting a few bits and pieces from the supermarket, then I spotted one of my students with her mum. I waved, greeted them and moved on. The student's mum nabbed me in the meat aisle." A bit personal. "And asked me how her daughter was doing in maths and what her predicted grade was. I politely responded and then tried to avoid them by going down other aisles. I needed some condoms and lube, and checking that there were no stray students or parents around, I browsed the shelf. Within seconds, that same mum appeared. She started asking me what her daughter could do to improve in maths and if I could recommend a tutor. At this point, I was a little embarrassed, and the student also seemed annoyed with her mum. I bet. I suggested that I contact her when I returned to school and they walked off. I didn't risk buying any condoms or lube, but at least I had my faggots. Awful meatballs. My husband was not impressed. I think this is from a homosexual. My question is, was my response appropriate and how should I respond in the future? I usually reply to emails at all hours and will speak to parents out and about. However, this just seemed a bit odd and caught me off guard. Should a teacher always be available for an impromptu parents' evening, even when purchasing contraception? With thanks, Anonymous.
I think you've, like we said with Laura there, I think we should all agree here now, if you see any teachers outside of school, don't ask them about work. I don't think that's fair.
Especially not like, and they're pursued
yeah, but
as well.
You know what some pushy parents are like.
Yeah, I would simply responded, well, when I'm working, I'll give this some thought, but at the moment, I'm not working.
Try not to approach teachers, especially teachers. They get it all.
You can say hello. I mean, don't ignore them. They're a human being. If you know them, it's weird. But hi, how are you? How was your Christmas? Fine.
They
weren't
long hours.
Yeah, but not... No, don't ask about what my child can do to improve.
And don't tell them to get loads of holiday, because that really pisses them off.
Yes, well, because they work flipping hard.
I know, they do. Honestly, I've got a few friends that are teachers. And now you've got to plan and prep every lesson.
Oh, yeah, no, I know.
But, yeah.
Holidays aren't long enough.
Were your mum and dad ever bothered about your reports and your grades and stuff? Mine weren't, really.
No, because I had reports that said things like, I always remember one of my drama teachers, if only all my students were like William, my life would be much easier.
Oh.
Sticks in my mind, don't know why.
My only thing was we would just put it like, as long as we weren't bad behaved.
Mm.
Like, I could get D's in maths, but they weren't bothered.
Did you get much D in school?
Yeah, quite a few.
Mm.
Yeah, actually, no. I was very average. Very average. I don't know where you're going with
this. You circumnavigated that, didn't you?
Yeah. my highest GCSE was I got a B in food tech.
Did you? In food?
And PE.
Is that a subject?
So I kind of balanced it out.
Okay. Mm. What was your favourite thing you made in food tech?
Cheesecake.
Cheesecake.
Every week you had to make it healthier and healthier. So you did like a full-fat version at the start, and then 6 weeks later, it was like a healthier version.
So it was 6 weeks of cheesecake.
Yeah, it's part of my coursework. I've done this before.
Eventually, it's just the tin.
I come home with some cheesecakes one day.
Right.
And my dad were, I'll never forget it, my dad was asleep on settee. Mm. We were in his army out, in his army combats. He opened one eye and I went, I've made some cheesecake. Food tech, he went, fucking sick of cheesecake every week. It's cost me a pissing fortune in ingredients, and I'll never forget this quote. Why don't you do a right subject like woodwork, like our Ryan? Make us a magazine rack. We had a little magazine rack outside.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah.
Have they still got that?
I don't think he has. No second guesses to my dad's favourite. You know, James is your mum's favourite.
Mm.
No second guesses to who my dad's favourite is.
Ryan.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because he's the most like him.
Well, he's just been promoted to Sergeant Major.
Sergeant
in
Major.
The army. And we should see what my dad got him for Christmas.
What did he get him?
Some Mont Blanc pens or something.
Mont Blanc
pens.
Wow.
Did
you eat many of those in the army?
I got a fire pit.
He's like Joan of Arc now, aren't you? Joan of Arc.
Oh, she
medieval.
Got burnt, didn't
yes,
she?
With faggots all around her. This is from Christina. Dear William Jordan and EP Ben, brackets, travelling. Happy New Year. I hope you can help with my problem. I'm not a native English speaker. My native language is Czech. I'm fluent in English, but I do suffer from an affliction when it comes to the spoken language, which is I tend to pick up various accents very quickly. I can go from Sarah Hansen to Mikey the Builder in a matter of days. You may ask, why is this a problem?
There was so weird. When I was moving out, so a removal guy, and he was from, I can't remember where he was from. I think it was Bulgaria. But he had a Scouse English accent because the guy who taught him.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and when he first moved to Liverpool, it's weird. Anyway, go on.
Well, I also tend to pick up local slang. For example, when spending time with my friend from Newcastle, I end up saying, aye, it's canny, for days. This is entirely involuntary and subconscious, and I have to concentrate to undo it. Listening to your podcast practically non-stop for the last 2 weeks has therefore somewhat altered my accent to have a northern twang. I found myself needing to concentrate to say my after realising I said, I've gone to Prague to see me family and I'm missing me dog. My English-speaking friends are dismayed, but also somewhat entertained. However, the serious affliction means that it doesn't take very long for me to sound like I'm mocking whoever I'm speaking to. My dilemma, therefore, is do I own up to this, apologise to people, and explain that I'm not needing to take the piss, meaning to take the piss, or do I ignore it and pretend I don't know what is happening, or just level up the concentration and risk looking like I'm constipated whilst trying to have a conversation with someone? Gratefully yours, Christina. Now, answer carefully, because Christina is literally hanging on your every word.
I'd just apologise and say, I'm sorry, I've got this medical condition where...
Well, it's not medical, is it?
I mimic how people talk. Just say sometimes I pick it up. We all do it. Do you go posher when you go back to Bristol?
I don't know, I've never really thought about it. Mikey goes more Yorkshire when he goes back to Yorkshire.
Does he actually?
Yes.
Oh, over Christmas, I do. I hear myself, I'm going, no, I'm right. Are you right? No. I'll have a brew. Yeah.
I think I'm fairly... But remember, I mean, this is why I did elocution lessons during lockdown, was because I was spending so much time talking to you, some of my vowels were going very flat.
How does Mikey go more northern, more Yorkshire?
All right. That sort of thing. No, he doesn't. It's just that there's the odd little sound. I know. Christina, I wouldn't worry too much about it. I think you've probably, I would say, because you're aware of it, it's probably becoming more of a thing in your head than it probably is in real life.
Yeah.
You are, of course, very aware of how you sound because you hear yourself all the time. Other people may not hear you as much. So, and look, if someone does pick you up and go, oh, that was a funny sound, or, oh, why have you said it like that? Then you could admit it. But if you make it a problem and tell them in advance, they'll then be listening for it. And I would say that would distract from the conversation.
Just be careful. You did mention there, just be careful with Geordies and Scousers. Because if they think you're taking piss, they're known to headbutt. So
nice.
Yeah.
This is from Dean Valentine in Toronto.
What a name.
Dean Valentine. Sounds like a film.
What a name.
Yes. Hi, gentlemen. I wanted to share a dilemma from when I lived in a first-story flat in Water Gardens, which was the former home of Elton John, as mentioned in his autobiography when he was first starting to become famous. I received a note in my front door one day, which read, and he's put the note here, but I'll read it out. Do you own the first floor flat on the corner overlooking Haviland Drive? Do you get up at about 6 a.m. or just shortly afterwards in block capitals? If this is you, do you realise that you can be clearly seen through your bathroom window? I have a wonderful view of you yesterday, stark naked, cleaning your teeth, bending over your wash basin. And on another morning, you were clearly, or do I mean, and I do mean clearly, visible drying yourself off after a bath or shower, and more detail than you could wish, and I certainly would wish, was on show to the world. It's not nice. Please get some window covering. My response was to stick it in the window that my neighbour had commented on, and from that time I made a point of being nude, more than not.
Well, that's a bit weird.
All my windows did have coverings, and I never wanted to change the look of the decor. After all, it was a rather posh flat. Do you agree with my approach, or do you think I should have taken a more democratic approach and maybe tried to cover the window? Love the podcast. Best, Dean Valentine in Toronto.
Probably best deed to try and cover the window. Also, who brushes the teeth bollock naked? I find that weird.
Do you not?
I don't like being naked.
No, I don't, no.
I like to be, yeah.
Do you not like being naked?
No, not really.
Fancy.
Yeah. Even, you know, I have a little hole in a sheet. You know?
I'm sorry?
I'm joking. I'm joking.
Very little hole. I would also say, can we just deconstruct this letter? The Elton John thing was a complete...
I know, yeah. Why have you thrown me off that? I thought the letter was from Elton John asking if he could come and have a look round or something.
Yes. It's completely irrelevant to what then happened. But I mean, I guess it's a flex, as people would say, to tell us that you live there. I mean, I do like the passive aggression of sticking the note to cover. I think that's
very
quite
you.
Funny. I do like that. But I think maybe some privacy blinds. I don't agree with how they dealt with it.
Yeah, I was going to say, the letter could have been nicer.
It's written very stroppily in block capitals in a whole range of fonts and colours as well, which I know you can't see, but there's the note. But, I would probably get some...
I'd be mortified if my neighbours were like... Because they probably think you're a bit pervy, don't they?
You can get some privacy film, I think, that sort of blocks out for people from seeing in.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Or just get some blinds. Or just stop walking around bollock naked, put a dressing gown on.
So many options. Final one, this is from Anonymous. Hi, William and Jordan. A while back, I was watching a movie with my girlfriend. We were comfy and spooning under a blanket on the sofa in the upstairs living room. After a while, one thing led to another and we started getting at it, but we left our top halves clothed. Now, at this point, she lived with her parents and suddenly we heard her father coming up the stairs, so we just froze in place. We were still spooning and covered in the blanket, so there was nothing to see. But on his way to bed, he stopped to give his daughter a kiss on the cheek. This was rather awkward since I was still balls deep. Was I wrong to wait for him to go to his room and then finish the job? Should we have stopped? What does one do in a situation like this? Thanks in advance for your advice. Anonymous.
Oh, I think the term balls deep. Oh, that's just so... Excuse me, I'm going to sweat. That's so fucked up on so many levels.
Regardless of what was going on below, if a couple were, whoever they were, if they were cuddling on a sofa, I think to lean over and give them a kiss is a bit weird.
That's quite alarming.
And I would just sort of stand in the doorway and wave and go, night.
And I think he would have known. Sometimes you can, like, sex has a smell, doesn't it?
Does it?
Yeah.
What does yours smell of?
No, you just sometimes, you know, like you walk in a room and you think, someone's been shagging in here.
Sorry.
No, you do. Come on. You know.
How many rooms do you walk into?
Or, you know, when you've like walked back into your bedroom, you think, oh yeah, we need to open a window. Do you know, it's
especially, smells of sin.
Sometimes you can smell sex, can't you?
I don't think you can smell sex. I'm sorry, I think you've absolutely lost the plot.
You can. Anyway, so he probably would have known.
June Devers, if you can smell sex, write in.
You can. We'll do it for the bonus in a couple of weeks.
Oh,
you can.
Can't wait.
Also, I think you probably should have stopped after that. That would have really killed
I think it probably would have killed the moment,
yeah,
yes.
Would have. He was still inside.
Yeah, okay.
Jeez. Fair play. That's my advice. You probably should have stopped. It does. It's got a bit of a...
A whiff of clothes.
Whiff of... You know, especially in the summer with the sweat and stuff.
Smells like Billingsgate Fish Market.
In Burnley?
No, Billingsgate's in London.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. Anyway, Jordan, what is coming up on the weekend release?
Apparently we find out if I ripped off Mikey's impression from a comedian.
Oh, well, we'll find out, won't we?
And we get feedback from our panto stalwart. Who's that?
Stalwart.
Oh, stalwart. Stalwart.
Stalwart. Veteran.
Don't he present Rest His Politics? That's Rory Stewart. With me, Rory Stewart. That's like my favourite podcast.
Okay. I'm sorry?
Second favourite after this, obviously.
I'm sorry?
Third. Why, what's the...
Sexted.
Oh, Keeping Up Appearances.
Thank you. Then.
With me, Rory Stewart.
Lovely. Well, what a love... It's nice to be back, Jordan.
It's nice to be back. Sorry, it's been a bit of an extra long episode, but we had loads to catch up on. Remember, you can listen every Tuesday and Friday. So that's when the episodes come out. And I've been told that loads of people listen to the Tuesday episode, but not so much the Friday one, which is just as fun. So come on, listen to that. It's just a bit shorter. It's a little treat for the weekend. So you can listen every Tuesday and Friday. You can watch us on YouTube on Wednesdays and Fridays, and you can share us on your socials all week. You can send your tales of trepidation to help@sexwithmyboss.com, or you can tweet us or send us a message on Instagram @sexwithmyboss, or you can write to William, who, in the fullness of time, promises a handwritten reply on one of our luxury greeting cards with executive self-steel envelopes. The address for that is on the website sexwithmyboss.com.
See you on Friday.
See you on Friday.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.